So the topic this week has been refuge, and one of the probably most important, or among the most important, religious sentiments of Buddhists can have. And of course, the word religion, religious, doesn't kind of not in the vocabulary of some people who practice Buddhism, but it is a kind of a. It's associated with a deep feeling, inspiration. It's this kind of the source of inspiration or the quality of inspiration that goes in the direction of freedom, goes in the direction of insight, goes in the direction of aligning our life, attuning our life with the wholesomeness and the freedom we are discovering with the practice, with a deep sense of knowing and connectivity, intimacy that comes with doing this practice. Like, here is a valuable way of living. Here is a valuable place from which to be in the world that is, I like to use the word, deeper than what happens to us when we're spinning around on the surface of things, in the stories and ideas and memories, ideas, kind of telling ourselves preoccupations and thoughts based on our desires and fears and animosities, that to learn to let go of the spinning mind, the agitated mind, the surface mind that we can often live in, and discover that there's a deep mind or deep heart that we can come from. And I made that distinction between wholesome and unwholesome, and that one way to have refuge in action is we take refuge in the wholesome. We take refuge in doing that which is beneficial. And for me, the wholesome feels like that comes from our depths. The unwholesome feels like it's skimming the surface of our life and our experience, and it involves a surface tension. And if that surface tension can really relax and really allow ourselves to come from the depth, then we have something so good that it's worthwhile being our refuge. So what we discover through meditation practice is seen as represented by the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. And so when we go for refuge in the Buddha, Dharma, Sangha, it's really a way of saying, I go to refuge with the inner Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha, that which resonates with these beautiful external refuges. And then the Buddha said, make a refuge of yourself. And so there's this kind of, come here. Don't be so looking outward. And even when he used synonymously, be a refuge to yourself, He then immediately followed, kind of giving a synonym for that, which is be a refuge in the Dharma. And there's something about discovering the Dharma within us. We become the Dharma. Practice is to kind of, not to make us different than who we are, or to brainwash us in some way, but to free up what's most profound and deep and meaningful source of support that's within us. The Dharma, and to discover in some kind of way we are the Dharma when the surface tensions fall away and this wholesomeness can come forth, and then take refuge in our actions, you know, be able to distinguish between wholesome and unwholesome and move in the direction of the wholesome. As we do this, the Buddha talked about two other refuges that exist, and the first I'd like to mention is the Four Noble Truths. And in talking about the Four Noble Truths, thinking of them, I think of them as, first and foremost, deep insight. So we live in a wholesome way, we settle the surface mind, the tension, we'd be able to drop down and really find a way to be connected and intimate with this lived experience, with a quiet, focused mind. So we really begin seeing more and more clearly what's happening here. And with that, we start seeing something of the underlying process the movement, the process, the unfolding of how our psychological and heart-mind kind of move and operate. And we see something called the Four Noble Truths, a very rich set of concepts that has different connotations, different applications, different elaborations at different times. But at the heart of it, one classic way of understanding it is that we really start seeing deeply, deeply, deeply how limiting it is to crave, to contract, to be compulsive, to lose our freedom in a drivenness in our thoughts and thinking and our emotions and our desires and our aversions, and to really see that thirsting that's underneath it all, and to be able to see the possibility of letting go, to see beyond it to the freedom, the other side of it. And so that we're not blinded by it, thinking this is what life is and freedom is just giving in to all our compulsions. But we see on the other side of it something that's really wonderful, the level of peace and happiness and freedom that is possible. So it's an insight to see. And there are other aspects of this insight, but to really see this insight that shows us another possibility. So to take refuge in that insight, this is right. And then the last refuge the Buddha mentioned is that when we have this deep insight and we realize that, or not necessarily we realize, but our heart realizes, the heart is given the space to really settle in and become whole and at ease and relaxed, then there's a phenomenal letting go or releasing. It's not something we do, but a releasing, a stopping, an ending of something, three things that we say over and over again. And so because we say it and I say it so repeatedly, it we kind of maybe gloss over it, or, oh yeah, yeah, you know, this is kind of Buddhist stuff, but it really lays at the heart of all unwholesome behavior. And so it's so significant. And that is greed, hatred, and delusion, that they get released to let go. And that absence of greed, hate, and delusion, that is a refuge. And to have experienced that refuge, that protection, that understanding, that value of being without greed, hate, and delusion, without these deep, unwholesome tendencies, is the most powerful refuge we can have. And at the end of his life, the Buddha said that he had made a refuge of himself. And what that means is that he had done the practice all the way to this complete letting go of greed, hate, and delusion. He had done the wholesome things that he had really connected to something really valuable within that led him to this deep release. And in doing so, he made himself a refuge for himself. He made himself safe for himself. And safe from danger. And that's the possibility for this practice for us, is that when we really kind of go for refuge, take this refuge, we are affirming the value of doing this practice. We're affirming the value of following the Eightfold Path, the Four Noble Truths, following the path of what's wholesome. We're affirming the value of this deep letting go of everything which is unwholesome. And then kind of putting ourselves on that path. And we do so, we make ourselves our own refuge. And the further we go on the path, the more we will create this great inner safety. And there's a way in which the greatest danger we have is not externally from us. The greatest danger is how we react and respond to what happens to us in this life of ours. That the clinging, the attachment, the closing down, the self-criticism, the ways in which we send arrows into our own hearts. And to have made the heart, made ourselves safe for ourselves, that there's a place of refuge here, no matter how difficult the world is around us, in here is a profound, abiding refuge that comes with the absence of greed, hatred, and delusion. And then, finally, is in one translation in the suttas, it's not quite right, it doesn't use the word sarana, refuge, but there's one translation of the Buddha's teachings where it says, the Buddha says, make yourself a refuge for others. The literal word that's used as refuge here is safety. Make yourself safe for others. And this movement then, once we discover the refuge in ourselves, then the opportunity is there that we become someone who is safe for others. That is a wonderful quality. Not enough people in our world, in our society, have the sense of safety. And so to let go and then be able to offer yourself as a refuge, as a support, as a compassionate, caring presence for others. So, refuge. So thank you all for this week. And just a reminder that starting Monday, I'll be teaching the next week, but the teaching will also be part of another program that I'm doing for San Francisco Zen Center, and we'll be joined on YouTube with the people from the Zen Center program, and so I'm not quite sure how I'll teach next week. It'll be basic Vipassana teachings, but I think I'll try to shape them in a way that is in harmony with Zen teaching. And in fact, the name of the program that I'm part of is called The Harmony of Zen and Vipassana. And you'll get more of that because in the following 2 weeks after that, it's a three-week program, the abbess of Green Gulch Zen Center and former abbot Paul Haller, Fu Schrader and Paul Haller, will do the 7 a.m. teachings. So you'll get a whole different flavor of practice for a couple of weeks, which should be quite, enlivening, I hope. So thank you all very, very much, and I look forward to our time together on Monday.